May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This month, the world lost a great American theologian. Katie Geneva Cannon was the first black woman ordained in the United Presbyterian Church, now the Presbyterian Church USA, and also the first black woman to earn a PhD in theology from Union Seminary in New York. But her most important contribution to the church was her founding work in the discipline of womanist theology and ethics. Womanism being the branch of feminism that specifically names and validates the experience of black women. And Katie Cannon encountered resistance in every part of her life. She grew up in the 1950s and 60s in North Carolina, in a segregated town where, as a black girl, she had no access to the library or the park or the pool or the town spelling bee. But she was a great student. She did well. She went to college and then went on to seminary, where she found that although she was at one of the great progressive seminaries in the country, with scholars doing some very exciting work in the 1970s, feminist theology ignored the experience of black women, and black theology focused on the experience of men. And so Katie Cannon wanted to do something new and shine a light on the perspective of black women within the Christian story. And for many years, she was dismissed by other academics. But I think one person who would not have dismissed her work is King Solomon, the great king who, when God offered him any gift his heart could desire, wanted only an understanding mind. And certain people in the Bible are coded as good guys or bad guys. When you hear the name Solomon, you can picture kind of a blinking halo over his head. This is a story about a good person we're about to hear. Solomon in the Bible is an exemplar of goodness and wisdom for a people who have had a lot of bad leaders and a lot of dumb leaders. He's a counter to them. And Solomon is also the leader of a people who have been persecuted by foreigners and are used to seeing difference as a threat. That's how they've survived this long. And yet in the passage we hear this morning, Solomon has just built his great temple. We're at the dedication ceremony. And the first thing he does is make a public prayer to God in front of all the leaders of Israel, when a foreigner, or we could say someone in our midst whom we have treated as a foreigner, comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven, God, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name. So if this prayer were an instruction for God, Solomon would have said it privately. God is presumably clear on the plan. But instead, Solomon calls upon the name of God in front of all of the leaders of Israel, which means that this is really an instruction for them. He's saying, if you want to hold on to your biases and your racial prejudice and your hatred of people who are different from you, just remember that God hears their prayers just as much as yours. And what matters here, says Solomon, is the message that all the peoples of the earth should know God's name. And woe unto you if it's your bias or your prejudice that gets in the way of sharing that message with the world. In John's gospel, Jesus promises his disciples that those who eat the bread of life will live forever. And he keeps reminding them of this message and pushing its importance and asking them if they're brave enough to stay with him and then to go out to share it and begging them not to get in the way. Katie Cannon struggled with the church, with the church's complicity and racism and sexism, its role in what she named as the sociocultural reality of death-dealing, dominating whiteness. And yet, she also believed in the church. She saw all of its flaws and all of its ugliness, and still believed because she believed so much in the message, in the redeeming hope for the world that is only found in Christ. And I wonder if she found some resonance in Peter's words to Jesus, which I have thought of when the church is disappointing me. Lord, you have the words of eternal life, so where else would we go? And Cannon believed so much that she committed her whole life to helping the world hear and understand the message of Jesus in new ways, so that all the peoples of the earth would one day know God's name. And as a theologian, she looked for places where the church's centering of whiteness and maleness had obscured the truth about God. Not to make a political point, but because seeking a deeper knowledge of God is what Christians are called to do. As one example, she pointed out that Christianity loves voluntary suffering and poverty. We fetishize them. We revere martyrs of the faith. We love a good saint like Francis of Assisi, who was born into wealth and chose to give it up. But what about, she says, people for whom suffering and poverty have never been a choice? What about people born into slavery? What about people who have been colonized, or have been the targets of genocide, or have had their wealth taken from them by force? Nobody asked them if they wanted to suffer. And nobody is making stained glass windows to celebrate them. So she says, if what we want is to know more about the life of Jesus, who is born into poverty, who is part of a persecuted minority, who is executed in public for a crime he did not commit, maybe what we should be doing first is making more of an effort to validate the experience of people whose lives look like his. And what Cannon understood was the same message that Solomon gave in the temple. We can never fully comprehend the glory of God. Our minds can't do that. They work like a faulty camera lens. The image of God before us is clear, but we can never quite get a good picture because the details are hazy or they get clouded by smoke. And that's not a problem with the image, it's a problem with the lens of our own limited understanding. But if we make room for new wisdom from different places, if we turn up the volume on voices that have been silenced, we learn a little bit more about the nature of God, and so our picture of God comes a little bit more into focus. And through that new focus, we can draw a little bit closer to the heart of Christ. Katie Cannon died of cancer on August 8th. She was a great loss to the academy and the church, although you have to imagine droves of theologians in heaven waiting to welcome her home. But she leaves behind an incredible legacy, not only of the many, many women of color she mentored and inspired to enter ministry and theology,
by blazing the trail, but also a legacy of looking for new perspectives and listening for new voices. Remembering often it is the people at the margins who have something that is most important to tell us about the nature of God. And as we seek Christ in our own lives and our own day, may we follow her example and listen for God's call. Amen.